Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Cannot survive another 100 years. What that means is that Christianity will either have to die and become whatever it wants to become, and we'll go into another season or period that is known as the Dark Ages, or Christianity must return back to its foundations. And speaking of foundations, this week represents that which we may want to understand as the foundation of the Christian faith. Please understand that Jesus did not give us any name. However, over time, people have found a way to namify us. So we have a name now. They call us Christians. However, Christianity has gone through so many changes. And it's good to understand your history. Many, many, many years ago, there was only one popular church, and it was not even the Catholic Church. And I don't even have an issue with them, but it's important to state that Peter was not the first pope. There was a church that used to exist many years ago, if you read church history, and there was a conflict of interest. So the church split into two. Then there was only one church. So one faction went to the Eastern, they called them the Eastern Bloc. They were the ones who stayed in Syria, the Arab areas, Africa, a bit into Africa, Egypt, where you have the Coptic Christians. Then we have the Western Bloc, and that Western Bloc is what we know today as the Catholic Church. So it's good to know your history. Now let me explain the way God works. God is a very patient person, which means his target might be the next 5,000 years. So if we allow what he's doing to evolve over time. During this particular period I was speaking about, there was nothing like speaking in tongues, prophecy. People just come to church, the priest or the reverend will wear a garment. The garment is not scriptural. Amen. The garments that we pastors wear, including the one I want to get now from St. Dominic, is not scriptural. I just want to get it so that I won't be worrying about thinking about what to wear on Sunday. All right. But I know that today every profession has a uniform. So I understand. As if you want to wear a gown, I'm fine with it, you know. But as funny as that might sound, all these things I've mentioned do not really represent the foundation of Christianity. For you to understand the foundation of Christianity, you need to go back to the Old Testament. There is a book in the Old Testament that is known as Leviticus. Do you know anybody that bears that name today? I saw one in one of the dramas. Is it the Winlow's brother Leviticus? So they use that name so it would be funny. But unfortunately, Leviticus is not a brother. He was the one that God committed the priesthood to. Because for anything that will, any spiritual movement that will last, there must be a priest. There must be a type of priesthood to ensure the survivor. Please understand. For anything that is started in the realm of the spirit, whether from God or from Satan, there must be a priesthood. The priesthood there is like a spiritual ruler. It's the one that represents that spiritual movement. And that the quality of that priest will determine the continuation of that movement. And that was why God tore the kingdom away from Saul when he tried to transition from being a king into a priest by offering a sacrifice. Number one, you don't know how we do it. Number two, you don't know what we do. Number three, you only see that normally we put an animal on the altar and we kill it. And you think because you have seen it before, that gives you the right to participate or carry out that. It's just like somebody feeling that my having to stand here is because I know the Bible. No. The scripture says that this honor taketh no man unto himself, except he that is called, as Aaron was. You see, the writer of Hebrews explained the nature of a calling, the calling of a man of God, and traced it back to how Aaron was called. How was Aaron called? There was a need. God had chosen a prophet that could not speak. God needed someone who was balanced enough to be able to administer the priesthood. So Moses was both king and prophet. Aaron was priest. Which means that there are certain things even within the functionality of what Moses might want to do. He will first discuss with Aaron. The scripture says that Aaron was chosen to be the prophet to Moses. Say, Aaron shall be thy prophet. So when you read the scriptures, one of the things you are going to understand is that any time that Israel fell away from God and started sinning, one of the things you will observe in the scripture is that a priesthood was introduced. An idol will be introduced. Then a priest will be given to them to ensure that the services of that priesthood was maintained. And any time the priesthood was killed, then you will notice that the altar will also be brought down. There are some of us who in our families have people who still, some of our elderly uncles, or maybe elderly women in the family, who continue to maintain a particular altar. Let me tell you the nature of some of these altars. If you are about to give birth or you are pregnant, sometimes your mom may call you and then she may prepare a type of food. Are you familiar with that? Huh? You are not talking. Are you familiar, at least within Nigeria, within the Nigerian context? They will bring you a particular food and say you should eat it because it will aid easy your quick delivery. They give you a kind of something that is supposed to help you. And we have one of our sisters here who had that problem with her parents because they brought the thing and they stood in front of her and said she must eat it. But her parents are also Christians. So she called me. I told her, don't eat it. And her parents told her, the implication of what you have done today, if it materializes, I hope you know that there will be no salvation. And she said, yes, that Jesus is enough. And they came for her. But I was ready. And we stood through that process until she put to bed and Satan was disgraced. Alright? So there are so many things happening here that we can't say on the altar. One of the signs that there's a priesthood in your house is that they will tell you that there's something that must be done in that family. Sometimes your dad will tell everybody should come home this year. You may not know why. Alright? Then they'll present some things to you guys. Your dad may come and say, okay, I have 5 of my shirts. I have 5 sons. He will give one of his shirts to each of you for no reason. For the women, they may prepare a particular meal and tell you that, oh, just before you put to bed, you must eat this food. And it's a very traditional type of dish. Those are signs that you still have priesthood in your home. And the moment you eat that food, Please put this down in your note. Food is not for digestion. It is used to establish covenant. The food they gave to Daniel to eat, him and his friends, had been offered to idols. So was it ordinary food? The moment Daniel partakes of that, he has been initiated without his permission. And if you think Satan will wait for your permission to throw something at you, then you are joking. He's a very old devil. He knows that the key to survival is not to be straightforward. Are we together? So you find things like you are pregnant, they ask you to eat something, or they come as a man, they invite you as a man and say, well, it's one of our ancient customs. When your wife puts to bed, we need to make some incisions on his head. Some, they will dip the child in a river. If the child, then they will say, okay, it's our son. They are looking for something. I think this happens in Delta State and maybe some part of Riverine area. Ijaws. So they do some things. The moment that is done, you have been welcomed into the priesthood. I'm saying this because as Christians, we must understand that your pastor or your leaders are given to you as priests, and their function is to maintain the strength, the order, and the strength of the priesthood. There is a reason why Jesus is set down at the right hand of God. Huh? Making what? Intercessions. Because intercessions pertains to priests. There are some of you that are here now. You don't know why you are chosen. But you are chosen before your parents even thought about you. You didn't look for God. You are not searching for God. But somehow, you just have this spiritual inclination. You are drawn towards spiritual things. And nobody is forcing you. In fact, if you decide not to be spiritual, nobody cares in your family. But for some reason, you have a leaning towards spiritual things. It is because God cannot take out one priesthood without replacing it. And that's why you find that even without trying, God has a way of communicating with you. And you are always going through some battles. People who are chosen may experience challenges with delay in one area or the other. And many times because they may not even be aware that they were chosen before their mom conceived them. No, there will be nobody to explain what is really happening to them for a very long time. And they will be struggling. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, please, you must understand that the nature of priests, of priesthood, involves sacrifice. And these sacrifices are usually contained in the shedding of blood. And we must also understand that the nature of the Godhead is one that recognizes priesthood. There's priesthood amongst them. Among the Godhead, who is the priest? His name is Jesus. The Bible said he has become an high priest. Huh? Upon his resurrection from the dead, he became our high priest. And later the scripture will say we should consider the bishop of our souls and our high priest of our profession. So Jesus is our high priest, making sacrifice daily. So when anybody tells you, you need to, hop in the car with me, let's go somewhere and find a permanent solution to your problem, ask them, which other one? Because the thing is, the average Christian today doesn't understand that if not for sacrifice, you cannot be born again. Do you know that on YouTube, sir, it is a crime to show blood? On YouTube. If you show blood, they take you out. So, this Easter now, you will see people with flyers and design with green flowers. The thorn, we have green flower. There will be one fancy cross. It was not a cross. It was a tree. He hung on a tree. That cross you saw was gotten from a tree. It was not smooth. It is not as smooth as the one the graphic designers are giving us. The devil knows that as long as you don't understand the priesthood element of the Christian faith, it doesn't matter what you believe, you will be powerless. Yeah. When I first became a Christian, you know, looking back now, I realized that many of my leaders, the people I looked up to then, looking back now, I realized they didn't know so much. I revered them because the little they knew was too much for me. But now, looking back, so this thing was just a Pythagoras theorem. I met one of my Greek teachers after I got admission into university. Maybe admission or maybe I'd finished university. Somewhere in between. Mr. Bodurin. Very handsome man. But you know, because I was a young boy, he looked old to me. But he was actually a young man. So I saw him somewhere, you know, in the city. I'm like, Mr. Bodurin, and I hugged you. How are you, sir? And I asked him, I said, sir, what are you doing here? He said, I'm thinking I want to further, so I got jammed from. Say, what? I couldn't process. Mr. Bodurin. The man that everybody loves. I never thought that it was possible to teach in a Unity Secondary School without being a university graduate. I mean, you are teaching me how to pass my Greek subject in WAEC. Huh? Then I graduate, I think I had C5 or C6. Go to university, and then I run into you. He said, I just left Unity Secondary School. I want to further. I would like to go to university. I honored him. It was too much for me. But that day, I honored him because I would not have passed a Greek without him. But you see, the race is not to the swift. How would you envision that the student you taught in SS1 will become a graduate when you are just thinking of? His priesthood. I said this because way back, when my seniors then, Robbie Demi and the rest, they were doing their deliverance, sometimes you just see them, they will stop praying, they will just stand on one spot and start screaming, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. The person with witchcraft will, you know, I learned something subconsciously. They will stay in the, they will put that person in the middle and they will hold hands. It's as though the moment they do that, that person cannot break out of that place. Even if the power from the pit of hell makes the girl charge towards that the edge of, she will go back to the center. She couldn't break it. Ha! Those people had power. They will not. Once they spend some time with you, and you are not responding, they'll just hold hands. The blood of Jesus. And they taught me something then. When we are doing deliverance, we must all say the same thing. It didn't make sense to me. So I had to ask them, what do you mean? They said, I can't be praying. I bind you, foul spirit. And you are praying. Holy Ghost fire. What do you want? Should we bind or should we send fire? You know, that's the way they explained it to me. It sounded very childish. But as I began to grow, I started seeing the relevance. Because every time they use that method, especially with
relations to invoking the blood of Jesus. Oh my God, I saw things. It's as though you have seen people who are possessed coming out with fangs and they can't touch. They are displaying uncommon strength. A very young girl, very young people, they become superhuman in their strength, but they can't break through five brothers who we are not trying to hold out. But the moment we see, because we were taught that there is no higher covenant, that the spiritual realm honors and respects than the blood of Jesus. And that if you have the revelation of this blood, if you beckon to it, every other power that comes there is lesser power. But you see, that was what they taught me. But backhand, what was really happening? The moment they began to plead the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who is the CEO or COO of the church on earth, gets the signal, Radio 7. We have a culprit here. And Jesus, the high priest, being the only person certified to wash men with his own blood, we stand in the realm of the spirit as a high priest, knowing that if we bring deliverance to this one, she will be useful in our kingdom. So while five brothers gather and they are saying the blood of Jesus, they don't know what's going to happen. Jesus takes out of that which he gave the world, administers it. Priesthood. What Jesus did when he continues to make intercession is that he is fulfilling his ministry as the high priest. That is why the blood works. That is why when you say Father in the name of Jesus, it seems like something is happening. And that is why it does not really work. If you have no revelation of that name or that blood. Revelation is our block, is our cement in Christian faith. Whatever you lack the revelation of, you cannot tap into his power. You may get some result, but the day if you don't know the get revelation, the day you need it, it will fail you. So the redemption process, please let's read Leviticus 16, was explained to us. There are many blueprints for this explanation, but let's just take one of it. Leviticus chapter 16. Now let's read from verse 6. Now this particular story is very interesting. If you have the time, you may want to read the previous chapters before jumping into chapter 16. But the beginning of this story is that God killed the two sons of Aaron. So there's a story there. You need to go look at it. Anywhere God has had to kill a man, it means he could not stand that thing. Do you know some other scenarios where God killed a man? It was God that killed King Saul. Not that spear. It was just the event. The event was that he died on his spear. But the real story is that God killed him. Jonathan also died. The reason why Jonathan died, Jonathan will go to heaven, but he died prematurely, is that he followed a man that God had cursed. Who you follow matters. You know that a man has battles in his life. Because you are in love, you want to marry him. With no clear plan to deal with that spiritual problem. You see a brother that is very gentle. Extremely gentle. If you hit him on the face, he might not even know. Because he's so almost can't put two words together. Instead of claiming that he has the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is gentleness, you need to go and visit his family and ask, who is like this man in this house? Then they will tell you, that's the way his father is. Then look at his father and look at what he has accomplished in his life before he decides to marry. Because I can tell you for a fact,
that gentleness is laziness. That thing you think is gentleness, it's just manifesting as gentleness. It may be laziness. Which means when you marry him, the apple doesn't usually fall far from the tree. Before you call gentleness, go and visit his family and be sure that this gentleness is truly of God. Let's look at chapter 16. What was the verse I asked you to start from? And Aaron shall offer. And Aaron shall offer this bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and his house. Now, this particular verse, the sixth verse, is not our area of emphasis, but let me just tell you for free. The fact that the sons of Aaron upset God and he judged them meant that everybody in that house had become defiled. And God told our brother, look at verse 2. Go to verse 2. And this is just an aside. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he comes not at all times into the holy place within the veil, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud on the mercy seat. If you read verse 1, you will now see the story of his sons that died. But take your time to enjoy that reading. So the sacrifice he was offering in verse 6 was to cleanse him from offense so that he can stand before God and minister to the Lord. You know, something happened in this church some time ago, and I was seriously upset. I was seriously upset. So I said to Pastor David then, I said, prepare to preach every Sunday. Just be preparing. That 5 minutes to when I go up, if I find that I am not emotionally stable, I will just tell you, go and preach. You see, because the matter is about defilement. In the Christian faith, how do you spread defilement? Through your lips. You just come there and begin to speak unhealthy words, and people listening to you can become defiled. So God said to this man, don't come before me carelessly. You are, I know you are still dealing with the death of your sons. So you don't have to preach. You can be a church member, because I can kill you. So the atonement in verse 6 was for himself. And I have to say this to those of us who are preachers, or maybe you do a lot of evangelism, or you represent God in one way or the other. Always know that there will be times you need to retreat and allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse you through the Word of God, through like just taking a moment to check yourself. David said, search me, O Lord, peradventure there's any evil way in me. You never can tell. Don't play that game of there's nothing wrong. We all make mistakes. So do yourself a favor sometimes. Just sit back and just do some self-evaluation. It's okay. God is not angry. The only person that is mad is Satan. Next verse, verse 7. He shall take the two goats. How many goats? He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Next verse. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Hold on here. The word scapegoat here is the word Azazel. Did you remember I was sharing one testimony about someone in East Africa that I said Azazel? The word for scapegoat here in Hebrew is Azazel. This one. This English language will be our problem. Because you read it now, you saw scapegoat. This is where the concept of scapegoat came from.
where somebody suffers on behalf of everybody. Huh? Or they use someone to carry the sins of the whole office. You know, they just say he was the one who took the money. But you know he was not the one. But somebody must be sacked. So they put his name. So he was the scapegoat. Next verse. So put that one in your mind. Maybe one of these days will come back. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as what? Sin offering. Next verse. But the goat on which the Lord fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Next verse. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering which is for himself and make atonement for himself and for his house and shall kill the bull as the sin offering which is for them. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense, beating fine, and bring it inside. But let's just take one or two more verses. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest it die. One more verse. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger. How many times? Now, this is a very beautiful reading, but let's stop here because we don't have time to. I know some of you don't read all this Leviticus, Lamentation, Ezekiel. The only chapter I know in Ezekiel is 37. Huh? Bad day, boy. You are welcome. So please stay with me. It's good when it's your birthday and you can sit and just listen to God's word. Some people, if it's their birthday, they won't even go to church. They won't take permission. They won't go to work. Now, let me show you what we are saying here. Please stay with me. You need to understand God's concept of redemption so that when you want to participate, you know exactly what you are doing. God says when you want to atone for the sins of people, get me two goats. Goats. In this particular case, he did not ask for sheep. Goat there signifying rebellion. Goats are stubborn. Stubbornness. If you have a goat in your house and a sheep in your house, most likely you want to kill the goat first because the goat will eat the yam, eat everything without permission. if you beat a goat, it doesn't matter. And there are people, even young children, that have a goat spirit. Even if you beat them, they will still go. So the question like, I gave you 100 souls of cane. Yeah, what kind of spirit do you have? So it's an atonement we'll do. It to Lamashi. For those of you watching from America, it to would offer a sacrifice. Don't worry, whichever year I come to your country, I will explain. So we have the two goats, and God says one is for me, and one is for will be Azazel. Azazel. Let me not go into this. If not, Azazel is one of the angels that fell with the watchers. Those ones that came and impregnated. So according to Jewish customs, Azazel is the one that taught mankind how to make weapons. He knows witchcraft. He's rebellious. He's stubborn. These weapons we use today, cutlass, gun, everything. The inspiration came from Azazel. That is how we do it in heaven. So, but Azazel is also like a territory. So, a wilderness where you release that second goat to. But it is more correct to say Azazel is not the wilderness. He is the power that lives in the wilderness. That's why you go to certain areas even for those of us that have lived in the villages, you know that there are some forests, there are some areas that seem to have some kind of cosmic powers. It's because there are spirits there. So God said, bring one of the flock, one of the goats, which will be for me. That one will be offered. His blood will be used. The second one, you will lay your hands upon it. Yeesh. You didn't get that. You will lay your hand upon that goat and all your sins. If you can say it, it will be transferred. Do you see why? When a Christian gives his life to Christ, you cannot claim the righteousness of God and say, it doesn't matter. The moment you must mention, the initial requirement may not require you to confess your sin, but to just say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But thereafter, if you fornicated, you cannot come to God and say, everything I have committed, both knowingly and unknowingly, you are who? You will be flogged. You cannot do that here, you criminal. You are coming from somewhere, say, anything I've done, the Baba in my village will do something like this, wave the leaf over here. Baba, plus you and the person, you'll be flogged. God says, lay your hand on the goat and release all your sins. Father, in the last 1 year, I have failed. I have failed morally. I've sinned against you. I used the Lord's name in vain. I cheated on my wife. I stole my company's money. You must say it. Don't assume for God. Because this assumption has destroyed many. Just like Jonathan thought that his loyalty to his father may still yield something for him, and he died. Just the same way that Gehazi thought he could quickly go and pick up some things from Naaman. And then he went to leprosy. Because the thing they removed from his body was still around. It has not, they've not dispatched it with DHL. The leprosy they removed from Naaman was still around. It's just that they didn't see. It was Elisha that knew where the thing was. For whatever reason, Elisha refused to see Naaman face to face when he came. Because the thing that was on him was not natural, it was spiritual. And as a priest and as a prophet, he cannot behold evil. He turned back. People thought it was because Elisha was proud. No, Elisha understands spiritual things. And then when the man came back healed, and Elisha congratulated him and greeted him, he still did not take anything from him. Is there anything you can do for the house of God? We really appreciate it. Actually, we need some diesel gen. No, just support God's work. I'm not saying if somebody is not saved, he cannot give to God. But there are certain conditions where someone that is not saved cannot give to God. He must not, because whatever he brings there will contaminate every other thing. Now, still speaking of laying your hands on the goat and you are able to transfer your iniquity, is also in the same vein when you go before a man of God that is cursed. A man of God that is not a real man of God. A man of God that is defiled. A man of God that gets powers from strange places. And they tell him that it doesn't matter, you can use the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter, this thing is compatible. They will tell you some of these powers, that the updated ones that are coming out now. After running the program, they will tell you whether you use the name of Jesus or Muhammad, it works. In fact, if you go on the altar and you abuse Satan, say, shake it down, bro, if you do all of that and say in Jesus' name, it will still work. The power will work. People will think you're a man of God. When Jesus warned us and said, check for the fruit. The fruit does not lie. Yeah. I'll come back maybe not to a general service, and tell you the signs to look for in a pastor. before you go on your knees and allow him lead. Because the moment he lays his hand, the same way the priest is able to transfer sin, you can become a partaker of his own sin. If you are unclean and the pastor is clean, and the scripture says, lay hand on no man suddenly and do not be partaker of their sin, which means through the laying of hands, sin can be shed. Laying of hands is a very powerful spiritual principle. Personally, as a principle, if I go to other churches where I'm not familiar with the people there, I ask them, can I lay hands? I ask the person. If the person is not comfortable with it, my anointing is not bound, I don't even want to touch you. You understand? Because if I touch too much, now I have to start washing my hands. And so please, I don't have to touch you. Don't even, let's not start. Sometimes you lay hands, you have to go into the office, start washing your hands, Because this one's perfume and that one's perfume. Everything has mixed together. You can't even, you don't even know, everything is in your head. So I don't, just day your day, you understand? Day your day, make a day my day. I don't, this anointing is like D.K. Luke. I say, lay your hands on where and let's pray. There's nobody God cannot touch. You don't give me a shower of buying soap. This issue of laying of hands is so powerful that the moment the priest lays his hands, it is not even the sin of the high priest. At that moment, he's like the lamb that bears the sins of the world. He's representing Christ. So when he lays his hands, all the sins, fighting, everything that happened in your village, in your community for the last 1 year, he has to stay there until there is a release in his spirit that everything has been transferred. If not, if you leave one person out, you endanger the whole community. Then that go to be released into the wilderness to be judged. But the symbol of that goat going alone into the wilderness is almost like Jesus Christ being led out of the city to be crucified, to be judged. Are you with me? You know he was led out of the city. Huh. If they wanted to crucify him in the community where he raised the widow of Nain, the son of the, that woman would tear their shirt. She would not allow them. And there were people that Jesus fed, 20,000 people. They would not allow them killing. So they had to make a decision. The first thing is scatter the disciples, then take him out. And when he was going, prophetically, somebody made a crown of thorns and touched his head. You are not seeing it. Somebody put a crown of thorns on his head. He started bleeding. Whenever there is a shedding of blood, there can be remission of sin. So when that person stood, he thought he was just being a soldier. God needed a man to make contact, no matter how small. So when Jesus hung on that cross, he was actually bearing the sin of both Gentile and Jews. He was bearing it. All he was waiting for was just the way the high priest has to keep his hands until every sin had been mentioned. The same way Jesus needed to hang on that cross until he will know in his spirit there will be a sign that the thing had been fully paid for. That was why when Jesus said, it is finished, he wasn't talking about, I'm tired, I want to die. He was saying, sin has been fully paid for. Hallelujah. Now you miss a good place to shout to because this was what Isaiah prophesied about and he died. Noah spoke prophetically. Enoch, God started using blueprints to paint a picture that a time will come, there will be a literal deliverance and salvation of man. In the days of Noah, he used an ark to signify Christ. Signify Christ, that in spite of the storm, this ark will stand the test. And after the rain stopped, what was the first animal that was released? A dove. Huh? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that came and confirmed. He went and confirmed. He said the coast is clear. And then the ark rested. This salvation package is a Godhead project. That's why God will not allow anybody messed up. God is involved in that project. It's like we want to build a co-Atlantic. It's our project. It's like this one, no angel can mess it up. That's why God was the one who said, who will go for us? When he said, who will go for us? Isaiah answered. God wasn't talking to Isaiah. He was talking to his son. They saw everything before the world began. And he told his son, you will have to go. I will lay the groundwork, then you will go. When you are done, hand over to the dove, the Holy Spirit. He will guide them and perfect them. Then you will come back. And you will come back. You bring everybody and submit them to me. A day is coming in eternity when we will stand before him. And Jesus will stand before all of us and say, Father, these were the ones you sent me to get. And Jesus himself will now become subject to his own Father. And that day, that's the day God has been waiting for. The day that was aborted by one man's rebellion. And now, this is now the day that through one man's obedience, every one of us will now be able to stand in the place of God's dream, the idea that God had from the beginning, that God will now truly have a family of sons, true sons, and daughters. You must understand that the idea of Easter, we've not been taught because we've not been properly taught because many do not know. So if you don't know, you cannot teach. You cannot establish. Look at how God didn't, God didn't give the revelation of, the teaching revelation of redemption in Genesis. I didn't say he didn't reveal redemption. I said the teaching revelation. He revealed it in Leviticus. Leviticus is the law. The law. You cannot claim to know God in the Old Testament if you do not know the law. That was why Jesus respected the fact that guy came to him and said, I have kept the law since I was a youth. And Jesus smiled, meaning that he was saying the truth. You know that you say there's one thing you lack. That's the gift of the word of knowledge. There's one thing you lack. Go and sell everything. You know the law, but you don't know the spirit of the law. Because the spirit of the law is love. So I want to help you. Let me take you a step further. He was teaching in another place. And then one woman stood up and said, blessed are thou, the Jesus, and the breast that you suck. And Jesus said, forget that one. Blessed are those who hear my words and keep it. Because when it really comes down to the subject of redemption, you cannot take teaching out of it. You cannot take the knowledge out. Look at how complex the thing is. God kept it in the book of Leviticus. Many people will read the Bible and jump Leviticus. He used the knowledge that was common to them then. Goats, animals, sacrifice. He used it to explain the whole thing. And Moses, before he died, put everything into a song. Into a song. Isn't that powerful? The scripture says to us that the God gave us the law to prove only one thing, that we could not be righteous. One man said to Jesus in one of those popular Q&A, said to know God is to love him and to do his commandment. And Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom. The man had not entered yet. Even with that revelation, he said, you are not far. If you continue like this, you will get there. So what was it that Jesus was saying? Because there was this other rich man that Jesus said, go and sell your property and give them to the poor.
then come back and follow me. Come back and follow me. The Bible said the man left because he had many possessions. He was very sorrowful of heart. Then Jesus saw a scribe who knew the law. And the man was able to see the spirit of the law, which was that, what? That man must love God, love his neighbor, and do the bidding of the scriptures. And Jesus didn't overpraise him. Jesus simply told him, you are not far from the kingdom. Why? Because Jesus would later speak to the Pharisees and he would say to them, for you do err in that you, what? You study the scriptures, huh? Because you have thought that by searching the scriptures, you would find eternal life. And he said, but you are falling, you are erring now. And in those days, we used to, in our Sunday school manual, in our churches, that was the scripture they used to put on the first page in my church to show that it is good to search the scriptures. But that scripture was an insult. We just saw search the scriptures for, and then you have eternal life. Amen. When we now realize, Jesus was abusing the Pharisee. That if truly you said you searched, because you are not searching, if truly you searched, you would have found eternal life. But in finding eternal life, you would have found me. So when Jesus said to that other man, you are not far from the kingdom, it's because the man stood in front of Jesus and didn't see Jesus as eternal life. So he said to him, you have the knowledge and you have the spirit of the message, but you have not, your message is not fully complete, so you are far, because I am the kingdom. If truly you have seen these things, the man's bias, the man's upbringing as a Jew, made him struggle with the fact that the person teaching could be Christ. But he was able to travel to a point and get 65%. And Jesus acknowledged the fact that so far so good, I've been preaching in this your country, you are the only one that has sense. You have some sense. However, you are very close, but you are not there. Because Jesus said, I am the gate of the door of this sheepfold. He said, before now, all that came before me were thieves, and they jumped the fence. He said, but anyone who comes through me will find eternal life. So Jesus was saying, you have come to the door. All you have to do is to say, Master, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And Jesus would have held his hand and said, you will be the first. I will give you a foretaste of eternal life. Follow me. And he would have led him in. Because today, we may look at that man, that scribe, and feel like, oh, maybe the man is not, okay, tried. Anyway, he tried. Jesus praised him. Because Jesus doesn't throw his praise around carelessly. But today, we now live in a time where people are satisfied with being able to say, love is all that matters. We even have many songs that we sing that are secular songs, but they are okay because they talk about love. They talk about love. Or love. Just want to love somebody. It's love. Everything's about love. Because even if you go to some folks of the other religion, if you want to look for a common ground, say we are up, we preach peace, love. Preach peace, love. Should love ourselves. We are brothers. We have same. We are brothers of the same father, Ishmael and Esau. The scripture said, Ishmael was rejected, and God said, "I have no covenant with him." So, if you admit that Ishmael is your father, when Abraham was going to die, go and read that story. You know, he had other children with Keturah. Because me, I thought the problem was Abraham. Problem was his wife. All that prayer they were doing, it was not Abraham. It was his wife. I mean, the fact that they could not have children, no. It was not Abraham. Because one time like this, one shot, Ishmael. One shot, just three shots, Keturah gave birth. So we know where the problem is. But for the sake of this gospel, let's be quiet. So that Sarah will not be offended. Because it will be hot tonight. Who is calling my name? Who is calling my name? Oh? Who is calling my name? Oh? Jesus, if you come. A million times. Powerful song. By the time he was dying, the Lord told him, settle them. Give them land. Give them money. Let them, as you are setting them, let them be going. Let them be going. Can I pack your bag now, now, now. Don't, you are not sleeping. Go. Yeah, go. Yeah, go. Ishmael, you are still here. Ah, go, 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 go. Very far. Say, my covenant is with Isaac. But do you know that Isaac is not actually Isaac? Isaac is Jesus. Because the way Isaac was conceived, it was not possible for Sarah to have a child. The same way it was not possible for Mary to have a child without a man. God put everything in blueprint, typologies. When you read the scripture, you will just realize that God was saying the same story in different ways. God said to his prophet, go and love a harlot and marry her. And someone said, huh? Even God, thou art a dead man. Is this where you have been going? All that thing you are preaching is so that we can go and marry her Lord. Say, bro, going there, we cannot. God is a God of righteousness. He knows. Ha! Brahimos, this is why you've been saying all this thing, because of Sister Felicia. Just to convince us that God is God, he can do whatever he likes. Ah, he was that prophet he was talking to. Did you see him do it twice? For something to be established as doctrine, you must have two or three witnesses. If you only have one, it's not a doctrine. It only you can learn from me, but it's not a doctrine. He said, go and love. He was using that marriage as a message to the people of Israel. Later, the woman did him shege. They pursued themselves. God said, go back and beg her, marry her again. Just to tell Israel that I love you. I keep pursuing you. I keep coming after you because I have a plan for you. I know you are dirty, but when you come, I will clean you. I will make you righteous again. That was all. It's not for you to have a revelation on how you can marry a lot. Every story, just take your time. Look at the Bible. Abel. Later, the scripture tells that there's another blood that speaketh. Everything in the scripture points to Jesus. Everything in scripture. So when we want to really celebrate Easter, because we now will need to take that journey and enter into the room with him where he gave his friends and his disciples the last supper. Everything Jesus does is deliberate, is significant. It may not make meaning to you. But when your eyes are open, you will see it. When we leave the Last Supper, we will now go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And we will now find that even when God has revealed his will to you, you cannot fulfill it in your own strength. That it is reckless of you to say, because God called you to go into the city and win a million souls for him, you can just go recklessly. You'll be dead. Gethsemane also explains to us that many times God will place a demand on us, and the things he will be placing a demand on us for will be something that we don't really like. And we don't want. If we have our choice, we won't do it. That it is possible. So when you begin to have such contradictions, don't worry, you are not the first. If I was the one who compiled that scripture in the Bible, that place where Jesus said, if it were possible, I would delete it. So that Jesus will look perfect. I'll delete it. Ah, righteous Jesus. No, I will help you. I'll remove that place. But does it take away the fact that he struggled? His flesh revolted. It wasn't him. It wasn't his spirit, his flesh. If you see the nail, you will also struggle. the nail that they use. Eh? If you see the crown of thorns, it's not that yellow one that they put on that calendar. If you see the crown of thorns, the way the thorns are looking at you like this, you will say, please, sorry, hello, is there any way we can do this thing? This, if this thing touch me, I die. You know what it means for one nail to be long enough to pass through two legs? Huh? And they did all of that without giving any form of what's that thing they give you in this anesthesia? Something to deaden that area. Huh? He didn't have any of that. So every time that they hit that foot, it was his scream people heard. Are you imagining how loud that scream could be? He would shout and you hear the echo. His mom couldn't stand it. They did that for two legs. And the soldier wasn't batting an eye. Just focus it. And with each of those things, you see blood gushing out. And he will scream. They do the same thing to his hands. Each hand. By the time they put the crown of thorns on his head, he couldn't even fight again. He was dead. He was. And Isaiah told us that story. He said, for I will see what? How did Isaiah put it? I will see the. Is it the reward? That's the way Isaiah put it. He said, and I'll be satisfied. And my soul, look for that place. Look for it in Isaiah. I want to refer to it accurately. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Huh? I will see the travail of his soul. Which means what was happening to Jesus was not just happening physically. Because at that moment, he was carrying the weight of the world, and now he was now subjected to physical and emotional pain. Such that by the time the high priest is also going into the holiest of all, and a bell was tied around his foot, the high priest also needs to lean on the mercy of God as he takes that journey. That no strong man can go in and say, I'm here to save mankind. God will not take it. You must be weak enough such that you depend on him. Such that after you have done everything, the Lord tells you over your family, pray like this, pray like this, pray like this for 7 days. When you are done, you will still come back and say, Father, I have done everything. We now beckon on your mercy. Mercy is one of the most powerful prayers you can pray for yourself. Lord, have mercy on me. It's not a sign of spiritual immaturity to pray for mercy. Actually, your realization that you need it may be a sign of maturity. That after you've prayed, you skabash and told people you pray 7 hours, you come back and kneel and say, God, I've done everything. No, have mercy. Father, please intervene. Have mercy. Have mercy. All day, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. By the time Jesus got to the final point when the price was paid, and he made that declaration. And I want you to appreciate something I've always emphasized here, that spiritually, transactions are done with words. Transactions in the spiritual realm are done with words. So if you are quiet, your destiny will be quiet. You cannot say, oh, thank God for all Pastor Benga. No, you have to believe it and say it, that it was because of me Jesus died, so I will not die again. You have to say it to yourself. If you have a medical condition in your body, you should, yeah, it was because of me. That time Jesus was screaming. He was thinking of me. Oh. It was because of me. He went, this HIV, he took it. This anemic condition, he took it. In our former church at Ilukweju, we had a healing service. And one of those healing services, the Lord told me that I should pray for those with blood diseases. And somebody came out to stand for her sister, her aunt, who had leukemia. I didn't even know what leukemia was, that it was blood cancer. And I just joined my faith with her. She was the only one who came back and said that Sunday, After the service, the auntie called and said, I'm feeling different too. And that was the deliverance of that woman. She never came to church. Just by, you know, the doctrine of representation. Just like how Jesus came, represented us on the cross. And she was somewhere else and she got healed. Because God spoke about it and God wanted to do it. And the woman was healed. And I've had a few experiences like that. Also with people who came to stand in for somebody who was crippled elsewhere. And after the service they went home, the person was walking. The person didn't even know anybody prayed. The person did not have time to have faith. Mercy. Say mercy. You see, this whole transaction, this whole thing about Jesus is about mercy. Because God knew we couldn't help ourselves. God knew we couldn't. There's nothing. The best of us, our righteousness is still as a filthy rag. And that's why you make a very grave mistake when you sin against God and then you run back. For instance, you stop coming to church because normally you sit in front and you know what you did. Now I'm like, no, let me settle myself before I come back. You are making a very grave mistake. Because what Satan will now do is that he will not follow after you and ensure you never go back there. Because he's our merciful high priest, whenever we are faced with several challenges, especially as it has to do with our spiritual state, our state of our righteousness with God, the first person to call is Jesus. Because he was the one who took the pain. Nobody has the right to make a decision without him. Nobody has the right to determine if you should continue as a Christian or not, except Jesus is involved. And if Jesus says, my blood speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, then you know your answer that if you can make it and call that name, just like that brother who followed, who Jesus was on the road, and he, what's that guy's name? That guy, blind Bartimaeus. And he started screaming, Jesus, Jesus. If you are still strong enough to cry for mercy and say, Jesus, 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 the men of God will not allow you to see him. They will tell you to wait for second service. Say, wait to see him after the service. He will be canceling people. But if you can shout, you know, it's somewhere ahead. If you can shout, if you can lose your respect, that your respect that means so much to you, if you can lose it for some time and shout, Jesus, Son of Mary, Son of David, have mercy. I've gone far. Please, mercy. What I want is mercy. He wasn't even talking about his healing. Say, have mercy. Yati Jemmy. I've suffered. People have looked down on me. They told me I fear. They told me I'm not the kind of person you want to see. Please, 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 Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus didn't ask him about his faith. Didn't ask him about his faith. This one said he wants mercy. Say, go. The guy started seeing from there. Jesus didn't cast out any demon. Jesus just said, begin to see. And the man started to see. The story of Easter is the story of mercy. How God decided to represent us himself. And then he himself stood on the other side to ratify the sacrifice. God died, God approved. And then God was sent to ensure that what was the reason why they died continued. Who is the Holy Spirit now? That is why we are here. And let me tell you, every time you thought you wanted to turn back from Christ and you found yourself coming back to Jesus, it was because the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ did not let you go. Madam, we died for you. You are not going anywhere. You know how many gallons I use for your head? You know? Do you know how many gallons I use for you? Only you. And you are even big. You have big body. We have an allocation because you normally see. We still keep some. They use and clean you, clean you. So why is it so difficult to love Jesus? Really, it's not hard. And you see, once Satan knows that you know, he knows that he can't hold you back. As long as he gives you that self-righteous that, you are not good enough for God. As long as you keep buying that market, 15 naira every day, should be just 15 naira. Bet, put 9 here, put 15 here. And you've never won. Okay? Because it's betting of it. But because it's 15 naira, just under naira. Then there was one guy I heard about in Sule. They say 250 million. One day to be my turn. You kept putting 100 naira here. You palm 50.
You pound 50, you put 20 here. You just share the thing, different matches. 10 naira, 5 naira. One must win.
Almost.
As long as you keep buying that thing that Satan is selling, you will never understand God's magnanimity. You will never understand God's love. It is only men that can be tired of you. You don't know Jesus. Jesus will follow you. He said, I'll leave the 99 and I will go after the one. If you complain, you are not the one that died.
Yes.
That's why we didn't call you to come and die. Because we left the dying for the one who can go after the one. You are too holy to go after one. Shebi just one. Let him see. Let him learn the reason why he should not leave the church. when wolf pursue him, and if he managed to survive, maybe one leg is gone. The next time I say, let this be a warning to you. Next time when the people of God are gathering, stay where everybody is staying. Hallelujah. But Jesus is the one that died. He's not tired of you. Oh, I wish you just know that in your heart that Jesus is the one rooting for you. He's not tired of you. You are his child. Yeah, his child is the one that died. He died for you. The people, the Satan that is working overtime on your life cannot be forgiven. He cannot be forgiven. That's why he hates you. Because what is a man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man, that esteem. You, say, you made him a little lower than the angel, yet you cover him with glory. You crown him with glory. What? Say, that's why you will not be forgiven. This one, I have chosen to have mercy on. God said to David, he said, your son, even if they disobey me, say, because of you, say, I will temper it with mercy. David was a type of Christ. He was a symbol of Christ in his days, showing that his righteousness was enough to protect his own family after he was gone. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you that what Jesus paid for, even though he's no longer here, is good enough for you. And is good enough for me. So when you leave here tomorrow and they tell you, come and appease God, say, there's nothing to appease. I and my Father, we are one. There's nothing to appease. There's nothing to appease. There's nothing to appease. When he brought us into his family, he didn't keep us outside. He brought us inside. We are in the same house. So it's no more Trinity. We are now more than three. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. We bless you for your tender love and for everything you have done and for assuring us again tonight, for speaking to us, for helping us. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and we thank you, Lord, for your love. And tonight we say we love you, God. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, because you are restoring us and you are doing a new work. And we ask that, Lord, this work will be further established in the name of Jesus. Tonight we come against the spirit of Azazel, a rebellious spirit, every spirit that works against the counsel of Christ, every spirit that dwells in the wilderness, every spirit that makes it difficult to walk with God, every spirit that leads a man outside the confines of the will of God. Today the Lord rebuke you foul spirit, and we release God's people over everyone here and those who are listening online, those who yet listen, that as you listen to this message, you will be released from rebellion and you will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And we thank you, Lord, because you have made us righteous. You have made us righteous in you. The scripture says that though we used to know him after the flesh, he said we no longer know him after the flesh. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, the old things have passed away and the new has come. And we thank you, Lord, because we are the new. We are the new creature in Christ. And we have the Holy Ghost. And we can cast out devils. And we can change lives. And we can heal the sick. And we can continue to proclaim your word everywhere we go to bring men to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, our Father, because we are your own. The world may not love us, but you consider us precious in your sight. And we thank you, Lord, because we are so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor, thank you so much for